Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Smith Areti, Global Chair of Food and Beverage at Edelman. Today, we're going behind the scenes of some of the most well-known and impactful advertising campaigns. My guest is Jen Walters, a vice president and group campaign director at the Ad Council, where she leads public service ad campaigns and develops marketing plans and strategies. Jen, welcome to Trustmakers.
Thank you for having me. So good to be here.
So before we get into the Ad Council and all the amazing work that the Ad Council does, I wanted to just dive in a little bit and hear more about you. You've been at the Ad Council for 11 years, which is a really long time in our industry. So what makes you want to stay at the Ad Council and what keeps you there?
My passion has always been in marketing and advertising. It's what I went to school for. I was fascinated how it really is a balance of art and science and a little bit of psychology in terms of how you can persuade people and change hearts and minds. So out of college, I began at a really iconic creative agency and learned so much, worked with brilliant, brilliant people there and had a wonderful experience. And then I kind of joke that at 25, I had this quarter life crisis where I'm happy-ish where I am, but I'm not sure I can sell chicken strip baskets and cameras for the rest of my life. But my skills are that I'm really organized. I'm good at timelines and client services, but I want to do good with my job. And so how can those two actually work together? And luckily I came across the Ad Council that was the intersection of those two passions. And the Ad Council really is set up to use the power of storytelling to build mass communications campaigns that drive impact at scale. I work on issues that I'm personally passionate about, impact me, my family. And as a mom of two daughters, knowing that we're building a better future for generations to come is really important to me. And I would say that no day is really ever the same. The cultural, political, social climate is ever evolving. The media landscape is ever evolving. So every day feels like a new challenge of how can we change hearts and minds through these emerging channels.
As a mother of two daughters as well, that's really heartwarming to hear. And I do think that we can make a lot of change in our industry and use the messages and the medium as a way to really influence and think about positive change for the next generations. I want to talk a little bit about the scale piece that you said, but before I do that, the Ad Council was founded in the 1940s during World War II, which I don't think many people know. Can you tell us a little bit about the origin story and, you know, why was it created during World War II?
Yeah, so our history is really fascinating. In the 40s, one of the co-founders of the Young and Rubicam Agency, James Webb Young, came up with an idea to really bring the advertising industry together for good. And so this was just a seedling of an idea. And the timing of that conversation with industry giants like Leo Burnett was quite pivotal because 3 weeks after that conversation, Pearl Harbor was attacked. And so there was an opportunity for the advertising industry to come together, not only to participate and rally the public to support America through this period of war, but to launch advertising social good campaigns as well, like our first campaign, Smokey Bear Wildfire Prevention, in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service, that is currently the longest running PSA campaign in American history. And so, you know, that initial establishment of the Ad Council and our mission really has been about not just responding culture, but moving it forward, change hearts and minds, spark new behaviors and move the country forward. And I can say that that mission really has remained steadfast over the past, I can't do math, but 70 plus years. And if anything, we've only doubled down on that responsibility, not only from the campaigns that we take onto our docket, we have 30 plus more in our docket at any given time, but through the work that comes out through those campaigns as well. We really do have an opportunity and frankly, a responsibility to push our industry forward through representation and the types of people and communities that we give opportunities to through the work that we develop.
It's such an impressive story when you think about how it started during wartime. And, you know, a lot of people probably don't know about that Ad Council and Smokey Bear, how long it's been running. What are some of the other memorable campaigns that Ad Council's worked on?
Yeah, some of our more iconic historical campaigns include efforts like A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste in partnership with UNCF, Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk. Vince and Larry were these iconic kind of crash test dummies, but our work really has evolved and deepened so much. And I think one of our more iconic campaigns presently on our docket is our Love Has No Labels campaign, which is our diversity, equity, and inclusion effort that really champions diversity, inclusion, and acceptance across communities, that launched in 2015 with our Skeletons video that instantly went viral. Is the first PSA ever to win an Emmy for Outstanding Commercial. And it's been viewed over 170 million times and was just really iconic, memorable, and still makes an impact to this day.
As you were listing off all the iconic campaigns, it's like these campaigns are really embedded in our memory structures, you know, especially Friends Don't Let Friends Drink and Drive. Like, these are things that I remember growing up and hearing often. And how do you determine as an Ad Council the types of issues that you're going to take on? Because there's so much happening in our world today. It oftentimes can feel so chaotic in terms of the issues that are facing us day in and day out. How does the Ad Council decide to pick which campaigns and which types of areas you want to focus in on?
So we really work in a few different ways. We have an advisory committee made up of really smart issue experts, academics that might make recommendations on these are some of the most pressing issues facing the U.S. today. Go out, find sponsors who can help bring this to life on your docket. There are moments where we as the Ad Council know that there is an emerging issue that we really must address. And so we'll go and seek it out. So it can, you know, work through those ways where we go seek out partners, or we'll have a rigorous application process for governments, nonprofits who want to bring their campaigns to us and think we should have a mass communications campaign around a specific issue. And what we look for from an Ad Council perspective are, one, you know, can the power of communications really drive an impact on this issue by either driving specific attitude or behavior changes? Secondly, we are a 501c3, so the campaigns that we take on are non-denominational, nonpartisan, non-commercial. We're not promoting a specific brand or a candidate or a political party, which I think lends to the trust of the Ad Council, knowing that there generally isn't a political agenda behind these efforts. We really just want to make the world a better place and really save lives and create good in this country. So those are some of the criteria that we look for in terms of, you know, can communications really make a difference? Are we really staying within the guidelines of our 501c3 nonprofit status and remaining apolitical? And how can individual action really drive impact on these issues? Because through that mass communications, we are just talking to individuals in this country to either improve health outcomes, change hearts and minds around specific issues like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and pieces like that.
And I think what you've really done in a big way is your ability to reach very large mass audiences. And I'm curious, and to go back to that scale piece that we were talking about earlier, who is your primary audience? It almost feels like it's everyone, but I'm just curious, how do you define the audience that you're trying to reach?
Our target audiences generally vary by campaign based on where the greatest need is or where the greatest potential for impact lies. So as a couple for examples, our Alzheimer's awareness campaign in partnership with the Alzheimer's Association targets adults in this 45 to 65 age range who have a parent, a spouse, or other loved one age 65 and older, because those people that we call pre-care partners are the most likely to notice changes in their loved one's behavior, start a conversation around Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, and talk about go seeing a doctor together. So that's very, very specific. But there are issues that really are so ubiquitous and impact a range of communities that require really discrete efforts to speak to those specific communities. And I think the Ad Council's mental health pillar is a great example of this, where we as the Ad Council are committed to creating a society that is more accepting, open, and proactive when it comes to our mental health. So together with the Huntsman Mental Health Institute, the Ad Council, in partnership with the Huntsman's, launched a new campaign that's called Love Your Mind, really designed to resonate with the millions of adults across the U.S. who struggle with their mental health, but also hold attitudes and beliefs that might be a barrier or deter them from seeking health. But understanding that mental health is an issue that affects all of us, the Ad Council is really addressing that head on. So the Love Your Mind campaign has already released work designed specifically to reach Black and Hispanic men and rural communities that have disproportionately impacted by mental health struggles and barriers. But knowing that our work in this space is far from done, in the coming year, we'll develop content and partnerships to reach women, the LGBTQ plus community, the AAPI community, because the way these issues kind of manifest or impact or the ways in for specific communities is so nuanced and specific. We want to make sure that we're mining the right insights and talking to these communities in a way that breaks down their unique barriers.
It's really powerful. And I don't think there's an American or person out there that hasn't been impacted by mental health, whether that's through family or a friend. So, you know, obviously I'm sure that while that program is targeted to a specific audience, that it could kind of resonate with a lot of people as well. So you talked about partners, and at Edelman, we just launched our recent trust barometer. And what we continuously see that when you partner with institutions, that can help build trust. And institutions are so important in terms of building that trust throughout society. And so you guys partner with a lot of different organizations depending on the issue spaces. So what's your approach for establishing those relationships and identifying the right partners? Is there like a very lengthy vetting process? You know, just curious to hear a little bit more about that.
So the Ad Council broadly, again, sits at this intersection of media partners, brand partners, social platforms, nonprofits, and government agencies that play unique roles and help bring scale to our campaigns. So our nonprofit and government agency partners are your acting issue experts. Brands, media, social platforms help extend the message. And so it really is coming up with this perfect, almost like algorithm. What is the right message in the right channel to reach our target audiences? And I think a great example of how this comes to life at the Ad Council is through our Love Has No Labels campaign that really demonstrates the unique role that different partners can play. So Love Has No Labels is funded by corporate partners like Walmart and Bank of America, whose support allows us to conduct the research, produce content, evaluate campaign impact, and cover the hard costs of putting out this really impactful campaign. And we use HRC has a corporate equality index. We use that as one way to vet our corporate partners to help ensure they're quote unquote walking the walk and not just talking the talk. So if we have that, you know, to help get the campaign up and running, we have also engaged a coalition of nonprofit partners who represent the communities that Love Has No Labels looks to serve. So again, the mission of that effort really is to create a more inclusive environment across race, age, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, and disability. So we brought on a suite of nonprofit partners, and those nonprofits act as our issue experts and really weigh in on what are the meaningful actions from within those communities that we can be promoting among the public. They'll review our content, our strategy, help provide meaningful resources for our website that are ultimately going to drive the impact these communities need. And then our media partners at the national and local level donate the time and resources from a media standpoint to our campaign. So we're not out there paying millions of dollars for media. Every dollar that the Ad Council gets works extremely hard on behalf of the issues and our campaigns. And specific media partners will help extend the campaign message in really custom and unique ways. And for us, I think a great example of this on Love Has No Label was an activation through Amazon and their Alexa functionality, where the Amazon Creative Studio allowed Love Has No Labels to really own the definition of love on Alexa. So now when you ask her, Alexa, what is love? She lends her voice to real people. We went out and recorded people from diverse backgrounds talking about what love or allyship or inclusion means to them. So now when you ask her, what is love? She'll respond with a real person's voice saying, you know, so-and-so from this state says that love is when someone acknowledges how I identify, or love is when we create safe spaces for Black women. And this was such a powerful and brilliant use of not only the Love Has No Labels brand platform, but customized in a way that is true to a partner's brand voice, their channels and platforms. And it was wildly successful and for me, such a cool expression on how Love Has No Labels can show up from a media channel standpoint in a really trusted way.
That's so lovely. I love to hear that, especially as we think about traditional advertising, right? And the Ad Council going beyond that to saying, this is about how do we reach people through different channels and platforms. And that's so, so clever and just so heartwarming to hear. You said the word algorithm, right? You said like, there's a very lengthy process you go through, whether that's your creative partners, the academics and the experts that you rely on, to the partners that you have. What's so interesting is, again, back to our trust barometer, we found this year that peers are on par with scientists when it comes to delivering trusted information about innovation. How do you strike that balance, right? Because when you and I are talking, it sounds like, wow, this is almost like a very lengthy process to get to a beautiful end result. Is it hard to gain consensus with all those partners that you have in the room? How do you kind of keep that beauty of the simple storytelling with all the things that you're sort of managing at the back end?
I would say it's not necessarily a lengthy process, but it is a process. And I think the way that we build consensus among those partners really is through letting research lead the way, using inputs like the Edelman Trust Barometer or our own proprietary research that we conduct among our target audience to really understand what are their values, what are their barriers around engaging in an issue, what would motivate them to change their hearts and minds. And really having that be an input into the creative brief and creative execution. And then we rely on, again, our creative partners and experts to really bring it to life. But I think, you know, through the Ad Council perspective and even on the campaigns that I've worked on, we've seen similar pieces where consumers love to see the data, but then want to hear it from someone that they know and trust. And so the Ad Council, we have our own research institute that similarly did a trusted messenger survey, I think back in 2022, to really dive into when it comes to the most important and often divisive issues today, who do Americans listen to for information to guide decision-making in this time where any opinion can feel either politically motivated or there's this time of misinformation and fake news. And I think what that sort of similarly found is to pick your messengers carefully based on their degree of trust around the topic or category. So also really might be helpful in generating broad awareness. People might feel more trusted with family members when it comes to decisions like getting your flu shot. Secondly, we learned that meeting your audience where they are along this knowledge journey is important, knowing that behavior change doesn't happen, you know, in a day, but kind of moving them along this spectrum of behavior change is important to figure out where messengers kind of plug in along that spectrum. Using those trusted messengers to help develop the strategy and not just activate it when you include them kind of along the development process, they can help inform with their own insights from their audiences.
It's very divisive right now. We know that. And then, you know, our trust barometer also is, we talk about that this year is a very political year, no matter where you sit in the world, you know. So finding a story and a message and a messenger that can bring people together and not alienate is really difficult to do. And so I think you guys have done that quite brilliantly without judgment, without preaching, but more so through simple storytelling that really captures people's hearts and minds.
In that vein too, when I think the data provides some level of, you know, credibility that if you say an issue, it is an issue. But when you have the opportunity to really put a human face and a human story to an issue, that is so incredibly meaningful as well. And our most recent Love Has No Labels effort is called Love Lives On. And the idea behind that effort that launched in June of 2022 is to really celebrate moments where in the face of bias, hate, or discrimination, our individual actions, when we step up, can really make an impact and make a difference. And we have a film, it's a little over 7 minutes, and there's a 1 minute cut down called The Gentle Giant. That's one of our most impactful films that I think we've created on this campaign. And what is so beautiful about it is it's telling the story through the lens of a sister about how her and her brother connected later in life. And through this narration, she spoke of her brother as a sibling, an uncle to her children, a father, a man of faith, a worker who was just trying to navigate his own life with the support of this newfound sibling bond. And, you know, three quarters of the way through this film, there's this reveal that this was the real story of George Floyd, told by his sister Bridget, with the message that their story was cut short by an act of injustice, but their love can live on through our individual actions when we continue to fight for racial justice for the Black community. And we saw, you know, through testing, through feedback on social when this film went live, just how powerful that storytelling element was. One, from an authenticity standpoint, having Bridget Floyd tell her brother's story through her own lens. We didn't necessarily script this concept, but kind of crafted the story based on interviews with her and really let her tell her own story. But to the creative construct of letting her tell the story and then having this moment of reveal allowed you to connect with, you know, this person on that shared humanity level. Like, I know what it's like to be a person of faith or a volunteer in my community or a sibling or a parent. And then when it was revealed that this was George Floyd's, you know, the joy that he brought into the world for his family, it, I think, challenged a lot of assumptions, a lot of the narratives that were out there around this, and really motivated people to want to learn more about how to join the fight for racial justice and understand why it's important to continue to tell his story and say his name, because there is still so much work to be done in this space.
It's really beautiful. And I think it brings to light the mastery of combining both art and science to the storytelling. You have the research telling you something, but the way that we convey the message, there's so much creativity and a different way to tell that story or a different angle that we haven't heard about or from to always sort of be told. So, I mean, I think it's so impressive the work that the Ad Council has done. What's next for you all?
I will say that Love Has No Labels does have a big year ahead, and stay tuned for that. I feel like maybe sometime around March, you might be hearing something from the Ad Council as well as later on in this year. I can't give too much away, but there's no greater need for campaigns like Love Has No Labels other than right now when it feels so divisive and almost overwhelming. But I think that campaign shows the hope, the goodness in humanity, and the difference that we can all take through simple actions. And I think uniting messages that connect us on that shared humanity to help overcome the division that we're all feeling is so critical right now. So, you know, we're excited to be putting more content like that out into the world. And then, as I mentioned, you know, there's a lot going to be happening from our mental health side of things. So there's always great work coming down the pike from the Ad Council.
Congratulations. And Jen, I could see why you stay there and have stayed there for over a decade. They certainly are keeping you quite busy, but I think the work speaks for itself. So that's all the time we have for today. Jen, thank you so much for sharing your insights and expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers. If you enjoy the show, please be sure to subscribe and consider taking some time to write a review. And if you're looking for more trust content and applications, subscribe to Edelman's Trust Institute's newsletter via the link in the show notes. We'll be back next time with more insights on how to build trust in today's society.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.